The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today at patreon.com/Steven Larson. Enjoy tons of bonus videos, including patron-only live shows, gameplay, and vintage 10 for the wins, access to podcast question threads, the Friendo Care Package, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today at patreon.com/Steven Larson. Hey, Friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And on today's Going In Raw News Brief, we find out who CM Punk has on his dream match list. PWI named their best in the world for 2020, and we preview tonight's SmackDown. But first, will Retribution be revealed at Payback? Larson, what's in the news?
Oh, speaking of Payback, Retribution. Today, suspected Retribution member Dominik Dijakovic, he at least has been involved in some of these segments in the past, sent out a tweet and then quickly deleted it, and it contained a series of numbers. They are 192.11.40.40.125. WrestleZone pretty quickly figured out that if you take each pair of numbers and course it match up with a letter, it spells out a word, that word being Sunday, of course, Payback Sunday. So, Retribution, Payback, synonymous. It'd be shocking if Retribution not make an appearance at this pay-per-view that's basically named after them. So are we actually going to finally learn who's under those ski masks this Sunday? Yes or no, Steve? What do you think?
Yes, I do. Payback is such a B-level pay-per-view. It's essentially a Raw SmackDown super show. It's literally 1 week after SummerSlam. It kind of feels like they didn't want to ruin SummerSlam potentially with some because Retribution's been getting all sorts of negative attention.
Oh, yes.
And so it feels like maybe they didn't want to risk, because SummerSlam was a fun show.
Yeah.
They didn't want to risk ruining like positive buzz coming out of SummerSlam with what could be potentially a fart of a reveal.
You know, another thing too that I thought is maybe they split up Payback and SummerSlam across two weekends rather than having a super long SummerSlam, because we'd heard, especially with no fans, they want to keep these pay-per-views at a reasonable length. So rather than doing a four and a half, maybe 5 hour SummerSlam, they're like, all right, let's do 3 hour SummerSlam, like a 2.5 hour show the following week. Hey, we have this faction that's not gaining a lot of traction right now. This is Payback. You know, that kind of means the same thing as Retribution. Let's just do something there. I have a theory. I guess I could spill the beans on it now, because like, okay. I teased it earlier. It might come into play when we do our predictions. That'll be up tomorrow, Saturday. So I know it's not the main event. Main event is going to be for the Universal title. But probably right before that is going to be a bout between Keith Lee and Randall Keith Orton.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if Retribution comes out, spoils the end of that match, because, you know, they want to keep Orton hot. They want to keep Lee strong. He just debuted. I'd be shocked if there's an actual finish.
Yeah, me too.
Dijakovic, he's leader of group. Yeah. Korth, he and Keith Lee have quite the history for themselves. Maybe they follow the pattern what NXT did in terms of getting Keith Lee over, having him in a series of matches against Dijakovic, so that each of them can show off how absolutely incredible they are on the ring and help get them both over.
That would be smart. There's one major caveat to that.
Yeah, no one on main roster creative play watches NXT.
Right, that's exactly right. They do have a long history, one that we appreciate being avid watchers of NXT. Yeah. However, I Vince would probably be down. Like Vince probably watches NXT. He probably knows what's going on there. He probably knows what Dijakovic can do. I just think that like he would be like, well, it's obvious that Vince sort of considers main roster kind of a clean slate.
Yes.
They don't carry a ton of
they don't, and usually to the detriment of whoever's getting called up from NXT.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, because you would think that, hey, you reference stuff on main roster when somebody comes from NXT, it's going to want people that will go watch NXT because there's continuity there. It is one of the most bizarre things that I've ever seen.
I know, and also you got established characters in NXT. People are comfortable with those characters, with their presentation, and they come to the main roster, and that's all changed. Yeah. Maybe we saw it with Bob Roode. Bob Roode is like perhaps the most, turn from what he was in NXT.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In NXT, he was like a strategic heel who's a mastermind of how to take advantage of mistakes by his opponent. That was his character in NXT, at least in terms of wrestling ring. You know, he had the whole thing about I'm going to have CEOs and whatnot in the front row. That never came to fruition. But everything else about his character was very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like he knew what he deliberate. That's what I was looking for. Yeah. Everything about his character was very deliberate. And he goes on the main roster, and his character is pretty much his theme song, and he smiles a lot, and that's it. There was nothing more to it.
It was really weird. It was really weird. But that's how it goes. Like Vince, you know, he sees, oh man, look at this guy, glorious Bobby Roode, just go out there and be glorious, and he's like, what? And then they shove him out.
Yeah,
and
what does that mean? Just glorious, Bob.
Right as he's like walking out there, smile a lot. Well, Bob Roode doesn't like to smile. It's kind of obvious. Anyways,
he doesn't like being forced to smile.
I really like that idea. I think it's a great idea. I think it'd be a lot of fun. I thought you were going to go in the direction of Keith Lee would be the leader of Retribution because Dijak would be his second guy, his lieutenant. I think that could be kind of cool too. I mean, the names that are under the hoods in Retribution, assuming the last time we saw Retribution, those are the people. Mm-hmm. It looked like it was probably Mia Yim, maybe Caden Carter, Dio Madden, Dijakovic, like you said.
And then Shane Thorne.
Maybe like Shane Thorne. Those are some really talented individuals, and if they give them a proper manifesto, a proper motivation, yeah, I think Retribution can totally be saved. You need some really cool wow moments as opposed to some turd moments.
And then that would potentially explain why Dijakovic didn't show up at the main event of the last TakeOver to advance the story between Cross and Keith Lee, because everything seemed to indicate, at least from my perspective, that something like that could happen, and they barely, commentary referenced it. That was it.
Did commentary reference TakeOver?
Apparently they did. Because watching and streaming and stuff, so I didn't hear it. But when we were doing the recap, people in chat said that commentary did reference Dijakovic during the match.
Okay. I thought you meant, I'm sorry, I was in a different place. They always do this. When somebody loses to leave NXT, they don't reference the fact that they just lost a TakeOver when they show up on main roster, and they didn't reference that also.
No.
When he got to Raw. Anyways, PWI put out their top 500, the PWI 500, appropriately titled because it's 500 wrestlers who all did best from June 30th of 2019 to July 1st of 2020. And topping that list, Larson, is your AEW World Champion, Jon Moxley. Does he deserve to be at the top of the list, yay or nay?
Well, I mean, based on, here's the thing, PWI's list is 75% kayfabe.
Yeah, sure.
Like the win-loss record. I know listed is first on the list of criteria. I don't know if it's exactly the most weighted bit of criteria in terms of the most important. But historically speaking, a lot of times, kayfabe, wins and losses, plays a significant role in these rankings.
Yeah.
If we're actually talking who had the best 365 days of the period you listed, if you're just looking at it objectively and don't take kayfabe into account, even though if you do, it doesn't hurt this individual's case. It's Adam Cole. Adam Cole honestly should be at the top of the list. I think the reason why is further down their list of criteria, it says something like success against highest grade of competition. So I would suspect the PWI considers AEW a higher level of competition than NXT. But, you know, NXT, while it's not really the case so much these days, you know, it's viewed upon in some circles, maybe even within WWE, as a developmental promotion, whereas AEW must, you know, be held on the same level as Raw or SmackDown.
You know, there's one pretty big caveat here, too, as well, and I'm sure they probably mentioned this in their write-up, but the G1 was during this period, and Jon Moxley won a lot in New Japan.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back to June when this list starts, July 13th technically is the first match. So Fyter Fest was on the 29th of June. This started June 30th. From July 13th, 2019, a win over Taichi, a win over Jeff Cobb. Let's go back here.
Yeah,
sorry.
Based on kayfabe, like Mox should, it's totally understandable because I don't think he hasn't lost in AEW. He had a great G1.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
So I get it.
He had a really terrific G1. What is this? NEW Prison Break? He defeated Pentagon Jr.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
That was the New Japan thing?
No. That was Northeast Wrestling.
Ah, yeah. I remember that. Okay. I remember that. On Dynamite, I mean, he rattled off wins here.
Yeah.
Pac, Omega, Darby Allin, Michael Nakazawa, Joey Janela, Trent, Lance Archer back to New Japan, Juice Robinson, Sammy Guevara.
He hasn't really lost much. I get that. In terms of kayfabe, definitely. But,
if we're talking
one,
who...
my criteria is being good, you know?
Yeah, if we're talking like who just had a killer 365 days. Now, if it was from January 1st of 2019 to December 31st of January of 2019, like I would Adam Cole for sure. I'm trying to see like the second half of the first half of 2020. The first half of 2020, if you look at Adam Cole's Pro Fight DB, it's not as impressive. And I agree with you. If we're looking at merely just performance, Adam Cole is probably like number one performer for me. But if you look at the first half of 2020, Adam Cole's isn't nearly as impressive as Mox's.
Oh, yeah, because if win-loss record is the primary metric, and then you got the success against the high level of competition. So I understand why Mox is.
Yeah. Yeah.
In terms of the use of PWI's criteria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I'm not
going to
complain about it. But, you know, we made it pretty clear who we thought the best wrestler in 2019 was. And that was largely the second half of 2019. That was Adam Cole.
And I'm sticking with that.
Same.
Speaking of the best wrestler in the world, CM Punk once claimed to be that. And he's talking dream matches. He did a Twitter Q&A. Is that right, Larson?
Yeah, well, he's doing some deadlifts in his basement. I remember reading the tweet yesterday, when he said, I got some time to rest between sets, time for a Q&A. And, of course, fans asked him about possible opponents in AEW and NXT. So when he was asked who he'd like to face in All Elite Wrestling, Phil responded, quote, I think interesting people to work with would be Omega and the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Makes total sense.
Yep.
When it comes to NXT, Punk mentioned one name, Fergal.
Oh, wow.
So he wants to work with Finn Balor.
Wow. That's cool. Probably not going to happen, right?
Oh, highly doubtful unless someone throws a ton of money his way.
Yeah, it seems like those days are up. Man, I wonder if he regrets that. If he should have been like, man, while WWE was just doling out fat Edge money, I should have got in on that.
He probably wants like 10 times Edge money, though. That's what he said. Like the negotiations that to start. I think he said 20 million.
Yeah. Still, what they probably would have given him is a lot of money.
Yeah.
We got a SmackDown tonight. We're going to be doing our recap live at twitch.tv/StephenLarson and on that Twitch channel tomorrow sometime in the afternoon. I'll be bleaching half my head from the part. Like this area over here of some sort. So,
again,
check
I'm
that
saying
out.
This. You're going to do what you're going to do. You only need to do a streak, man.
Look, man, the spirit of the thing was, here's the thing. If I would have won, which I only lost by a point, you would have looked like a royal asshole. So I'm fine, you know, reciprocating looking like a royal. Although, like, when I'm on camera, you can't even see what it's going to be. But still. Anyways, tonight, Roman Reigns. This will be interesting to see how they approach Roman Reigns with the sort of a contract signing thing where we get to see a bit of his personality, maybe.
Well, I think the more interesting aspect is how is the Fiend Bray Wyatt going to work into this contract signing? That's so outside of how he normally comports himself. It's going to be weird.
This has got to be, he's got to be in his Firefly Funhouse persona.
I would suspect that's the only way it would work. If he comes out with the Fiend outfit and the entrance for this is going to be like, all right, who's here that just came from Party City with their Halloween costume coming to do some legal documents? It's going to seem so weird.
So they're going to have their title, their contract signing. And then Big E is to join Miz TV after the explosive Talking Smack standoff with The Miz. This is pretty interesting stuff they had on Talking Smack. Some might say controversial. Miz really giving it to Big E about, hey, you need to be serious. And Big E insisting, no, I don't want to just do the same thing everybody else has done. I want to craft my own path and do it the way I know how to do it. So I'm glad that they're taking Talking Smack, something that worked really well there. They're going to put it on TV, and we'll see how that goes. Hopefully it'll be, you know, good and not a dud. Like you've said in the past, especially when Miz gets together with Morrison, it's hit or miss completely. There's no gray area there. It's not just like, oh, this is kind of funny. It's either, man, this is really good, or this is cringy.
It's like embarrassing wrestling television.
Yeah. So this will be good, man. Hopefully they take this serious. I mean, that's kind of, I like this idea though. I like the idea of, he doesn't have to be serious, or he can craft his own way. Mm-hmm. But if people call him out on that, it's going to bring out some intensity, because that's what we saw on Talking Smack.
Yes.
It's a great way to approach it. Hopefully they kill this segment. There's chances they won't, though. Anyways.
Well, I think Big E will undoubtedly...
I was talking about creative.
Oh, okay. I mean, be a standout in terms of his performance, but creatively, yeah, that's something else entirely.
Sometimes it's not up to him. Anyways, thanks everybody for watching. We appreciate it. Till next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today at patreon.com/Steven Larson. Enjoy tons of bonus videos, including patron-only live shows, gameplay, and vintage 10 for the wins, access to podcast question threads, the Friendo Care Package, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today at patreon.com/Steven Larson.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.